never moves without purpose or plan. Trying a servant and molding a man. Give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness He giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I could not see through the shadows of my head, so I look at the cross of my Savior instead. I bow to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. Oh, I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens His children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in His care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistake. He knows the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I shall come forth as gold.
A blessing. Thank you, Thomas. Enjoyed that. All right. You have your handout there on the back of your prayer list. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for helping Tom through these long, long months of recovery. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to touch him and, Lord, restore him. Just appreciate his spirit, his fighting spirit to regain what some of that he'd lost. And I just appreciate it. Thank you for helping him sing tonight. Speak to our hearts from your word. Teach us tonight. That'll help us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Genesis 15. Genesis 15. I want you to notice the first words of this chapter. Verse 1, the first three words. After these things. Now, when we were last studying the man Abraham last Wednesday night, Lot had separated from him, had pitched his tent in the direction of Sodom. We basically skipped over chapter 14. I'm not going to break it down so much that we go through every verse and chapter in the life of Abraham. We would be forever doing that. So now in chapter 14, Lot is living in Sodom, and King Kedor Laomer, that's how you pronounce that name. Back in chapter 14, you'll see it there in verse number 5. And actually in verse number 1, Kedor Laomer. Kind of looks like Cheddar Laomer, but it's Kedor. If you'd like Cheddar better, we'll just call him Cheddar tonight. Shorten it up. And Cheddarhead, we'll call him a Green Bay Packer, all right? And the Cheddarheads, okay? But anyway, he comes and he brings four armies with him. And they attack Sodom. And they take all that's living there. They take Lot and all of his people and all the goods, and they spoil, okay? And so Abraham hears about it. He gathers his 318 armed servants. There was no Hillary Clinton back then or any of the other Democrats that try to keep the guns out of our hands. And so he armed his servants, 318 of them. Don't know what kind of collection he had, Glocks. Smith and Wessons or what, I don't know, but he'd armed them all and took off. And he had some help from some other kings, and he had this confederation, and so they went, and they defeated Cheddar, and they rescued all that had been captured, and they returned him to Sodom, and then Abraham had an encounter with Melchizedek, and then he returned to his home on the plains of Mamre. Now, in chapter 15, verse number 1, you find some incredible statements made to mankind for the first time. Things that you read over and over again throughout the Bible. This is the first time they're mentioned, the first time they are used. You see there in verse number, after these things here, the word of the Lord came. It's the first time that statement is used. How many times is it used after that? I don't know. The word of the Lord came. Then the next two words, or then later on, the words, fear not. How many times are those words used? First time they're used in the Bible right here. And then he said later on, I am thy shield. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. Now, what if, where would we be if the word of the Lord had not come to us? Thank God that the word of the Lord came to mankind, okay? So the word of the Lord came to Abraham about two distinct matters. I'll talk about one of those matters tonight. It's number one on your sheet here. The word of the Lord came to Abraham about his fear. About his fear, okay? Now, before we get into talking about what God told him about his fear, let's talk for a moment about this matter of the word of the Lord coming to him. Now, Kedar, or Cheddar, he ruled over five nations for 12 years. And in the 13th year, these nations began to rebel against his leadership. And in the 14th year, he said, that's enough of that. And so he's going to go conquer them and put them under his thumb again. And sound a little bit like what China has threatened to do with those over in Hong Kong. That's enough of that. We're going to put an end to it shortly. And so he did. So he got four nations to come with him. And they actually had five nations that rebelled against his leadership. And Sodom was included in that. Gomorrah was included in that. So he went to war there, and they won the battle, and he spoiled those cities, and he increased his goods greatly, okay? So he's all set now. Then, this nomadic shepherd, I'm talking about Abraham, this nomadic shepherd with this army of only 318 men and a little help from other armies, they came and defeated Cheddar and his four-nation confederation. And they recaptured all the spoil that he had taken in battle. Question, if you were Cheddar, would you be in a good mood? I don't think so. And I've had Abraham sitting there probably, you know, he settled back into his pilgrim life there on the plains, living in his tent, sacrificing on his altar, waiting on the promise of God. He's carefully taking care of his flocks and his herds. But you know what he's doing the whole time? Yeah. Looking over his shoulder. I mean, if five kings and their armies had not been able to stand against this mighty king and his confederation, how in the world could he expect to withstand an attack? And would they not attack? They were like a bear robbed of its cubs. So Abraham had reason to fear. And what is there to really enjoy in your life if you're constantly looking over your shoulder, constantly living in fear of being attacked? Added to that, you know, Lot's back in Sodom. He takes his 318 men, puts him and his men, their necks on the line to rescue Lot. And when Lot gets back, he goes right back to Sodom. So Abraham is alone on the plain. He'd been in the land for over 10 years now. Not one square inch of that land had become his own possession. He was still moving from place to place like a nomad. Not one child had been born to his and Sarah's union. You know what that means, folks? Nothing of all that God had foretold him had happened. How would you feel? We read the Bible too fast. We don't put ourselves in these people's situations sometimes. We read it and we're like, okay, but you got to think this through a little bit, okay? Now, it was under those circumstances that the word of the Lord came to Abram. And so number two on your sheet, I say, thank God. God doesn't always wait for us to come to Him. Very often, He comes to us before we think of going to Him. The word of the Lord came to Abram. His heart is distressed, probably a little bit lonely, like I talked about last week. And what happens to, what happens to him? God's word came to him. That's a little bit what I preached about on Sunday night. When David encouraged himself. You can't encourage yourself by coddling things that you tell yourself that are emotionally based. You encourage yourself when you teach your, when you talk to yourself with biblical truth. And the word of the Lord came to Abram. The word of the Lord came. And by the way, folks, this is another reason for you and I to become very familiar with our book. Okay? The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. You see it there, verse number one. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. Why a vision? What kind of vision? A revelation of God's word came to him. Why? Because the written word had not yet been given. Not yet been delivered. I said number three on your sheet tonight, God does not come to us now in a vision, but His Spirit will bring to our minds and memories the word of His revelation. You have His revelation in your hand tonight. And God, if you and I become familiar enough with this book, God will visit our minds with the words of this book. He'll come to us when we need it. Number four, the more familiar we are with His revelation, the easier it is for the Holy Spirit to come to us with that which God has said. I'll say that again. The more familiar we are with His revelation, the easier it is for the Holy Spirit to come to us with that which God has said. God brought the words to Abram before they were ever written. He brought them in a vision. You and I have a book. Why would God bring us something in a vision when He's already given to us in a book? You sit back, you don't read your Bible, you pay no attention to it, you don't have a relationship with it, and you wonder why the Lord never speaks to your heart. He's going to speak to your heart according to how you give attention to His book. The Holy Spirit brings those things. How many times has God's Word come to us as the Spirit of God has reminded us of what we have read in the book or heard preached or heard taught in Sunday school? Number five, get familiar with His Word and the Spirit will bring it to you when you need it. He'll bring it to you when you need it. So get familiar with His Word. This morning, I got up a little after 5 this morning. Of course, if you're getting up at that time of the morning now, it's dark because the days are getting shorter. Just a few weeks ago, 5 o'clock was daylight. Before 5 o'clock was daylight. Birds are singing. Now it's dark. And my recliner is positioned there where I read my Bible in the morning. So that in a little stand there where the coffee cup sits with the community coffee already brewed in it. Amen. No latte, cappuccino, frappe, fratty. Just some good old half and half in that coffee. That's it. I don't need hazelnut. Don't need French vanilla, Irish cream. Any of the above, just a little half and half in that crib. Good stuff. And my recliner looks right out the east window. There's a set of bay windows. And then over here a few feet, there is a single double-hung window that looks right out toward the east. And I'm sitting in that chair, and man, I look up from reading the Bible, and that sun is a ball of orange. I don't know if you saw the sunrise this morning. It's beautiful. Now, I'm not Mr. Spiritual Man. But this is what happened. I lifted my eyes. I saw that sun. And do you know what the Spirit of God brought to my mind? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And I had a spell in my recliner. No matter what happened yesterday, successes or failures, it's a new morning. God's mercies are new. I was not reading. I was reading in the book of Isaiah. I was reading in the book of 2 Corinthians this morning. I wasn't anywhere near Lamentations. But I'm familiar with the book a little bit, and the Spirit of God can bring the Word of the Lord to us if we'll get familiar with it when we need it. And Abraham needed it. So God comes to him in a vision with His Word. When God's Word came to Abraham, the very first thing He said to him, you see it in verse number 1. And this is about as far as we're going tonight. Sometimes there's so much packed in one verse, you don't need to go very far. He says, "Fear not. Fear not." Now, once again, this is the first mention of that phrase in the Bible. How many times is it repeated? Over and over and over again. Fear is an interesting subject in the Scripture. I believe there is a healthy fear and there is an unhealthy fear talked about in the Bible. Number 6 on your sheet, healthy fear is when we are exhorted to fear God. Fear God. This is like what is found in the conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes that we looked at some months ago. Chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fearing God is a healthy practice in our Christian life. Number 7, it is a reverence for God that motivates us to live right. It is a healthy fear of not wanting to disappoint Him or disobey Him. If you had the right kind of daddy, you had a healthy fear of not wanting to disobey or disappoint him. You didn't want to do that. That's a healthy fear. That kept me out of trouble sometimes growing up. And that's the kind of fear that's healthy, okay? Is a reverence for God. It's a healthy fear of not wanting to disappoint Him or disobey Him. Because there are several places in the Scripture where we are told, fear God, fear God, fear God, fear God, fear God, fear God, fear God. Repeat it how many times? That's healthy fear. Unhealthy fear, number 8, is the fear of man. Of circumstances or things that man can do to us. And the Bible makes it clear that that kind of fear is a snare. It traps us and keeps us from boldly living for the glory and honor of God. Now, when God tells Abraham here, fear not, He is exhorting Abraham not to fear man. And specifically, don't fear cheddar. Don't fear revenge from cheddar. Even though Cheddar is probably angry, he's vengeful, seeking revenge, Abraham did not need to be paralyzed by the fear of that man. Abraham's working every day with his flocks, his herds, his servants always looking over his shoulder. When is this guy going to show up? And finally, the word of the Lord comes to him and says, Abraham, stop. Fear not. I do not want you to live paralyzed by the fear of man. And so that's what God told him. Now, what are we at here? Number 9 on your sheet. When we are told to avoid that unhealthy kind of fear, the fear of man or circumstances, there's usually something we can find from God to help us alleviate that fear. Now, I'll say that again. When we are told to avoid that unhealthy fear, the fear of man or circumstances, there is usually something we can find from God to help us alleviate that fear. And in Abraham's case, what he got from God was simply this. I love it. Fear not. I am thy shield. Phew. Abraham, stop your worrying. Abraham, stop your fretting. I am thy shield. Do not fear. I am your protection. I am your defense. I am your safeguard. And people, how many times is that repeated over and over and over again throughout Scripture? Man, Deuteronomy 33:29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. Psalm 3:3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and shield. Psalm 33:20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. A shield was used for defense. A shield was used for the protection. And God told Abraham, I'm going to take care of you. I am your safety system. I am your security. Number 10 on your sheet here, with all the modern means of self-defense and digital security systems, and I'm for all that. I'm not against it. In fact, I'm kind of enjoying these digital security systems in people's homes now. And it happened, I don't know where I was at, just recently with somebody on a Saturday, and I rang a doorbell, and it was one of those rings, and they're not home. And so just make good use of that. Hey, Terry Angel, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, just want to leave you with an invitation to visit our church. You're probably watching on your phone right now. Not here to do any harm. I'll leave this in your door. Hope you will read it later. God bless you. Have a good day. Turn and walk away. Thank you. So don't be, hey, if you get to those doors, leave a message. It's taking a video, isn't it? I don't have one, but I got house protection. Yeah. They won't hear any voices, they'll just see lights. See flashes. Okay, I didn't finish my statement, did I? Okay. With all the modern means of self-defense and digital security system, it still bears repeating that the horse is prepared against the day of battle. Ah, but safety is of the Lord. Hey, I love that story. Don't you love that story in 2 Kings where the king of Syria sends that great host down to Dothan to catch Elisha and bring him back? And I forget exactly how it reads in the text, but the servant gets up early in the morning and he goes outside probably to wash some pans or something, and he sees all those Syrians. He goes to Elisha, we are in a heap of trouble. Elisha goes, no problem. He said, well, look. He said, those that are with us are more than those with them. And you got to, don't be hard on that servant. That's you and me. Yeah, that's right. I don't know how you're counting. You're counting like a Baptist church or something, amen? Count like you're taking attendance on Sunday morning. 50, 100, 200, 300. You know, how are you counting? Remember when Elisha prayed? Open thou his eyes. And there between them and the enemy army were all those angels bearing those swords of fire. Forgive me, I shouldn't say this. It reminds me of Gomer Pyle. Golly! I shouldn't have said that, but I couldn't help it. That's not in my notes. I don't make a habit of saying that, but I just came to my mind. Old Gomer. I wonder what he said. Something in the Hebrew like that, probably. You know what? You and I, folks, here in America, we live in a fairly civilized country. It'll be interesting to see what happens if Jesus stays in heaven and this... Isn't it amazing how Congress, the liberal legislatures and the news media and even some local law enforcement agencies are turning a blind eye to this Antifa crowd? They're vile. So I wonder if that's going to become kind of the behavior of the day as we go down the road. I don't know. I'm not trying to... I know, conspiracy theory, but I'm going to tell you, we don't think much of it. We live pretty much in safety here in America, but you talk to some of these dear missionary families who live in far less civilized countries than ours, and you ask them how important it is when a mob of angry nationals are gathered around your simple living quarters and you are inside. Read the story of John Payton in the New Hebrides. And that mob of native nationals had gathered around there. John Payton was inside their little hut praying for safety. Nothing ever happened. Some time passed. The chief of that village got saved. And Payton was visiting with him after he was saved. He said, you remember that night Y'all all gathered around our hut with all your weapons. I thought for sure you were coming to attack us and kill us. Why didn't you come? He said, we couldn't. You had all that host of men in white garments standing around us, standing around your things with fiery swords. We couldn't. I don't believe that. Well, then tear that page out of your Bible. Take it with you to heaven. I don't believe that. See how you get along. I believe it with all my heart. I am thy shield. Number 11. The same God who was Abraham's shield is our shield today. Yes, He is. Now, one more truth before we stop tonight, okay? So God's come to Abram. Fear not. The word of the Lord came to him when he needed it. Boy, thank God His word comes to us when we need it. Get familiar with your Bible so you'll know it and God can bring it to your memory that way. First thing He said to Abram was, fear not. Abram was living in fear. Abram, I don't want you to be afraid. I am your shield. I will take care of you. Okay, now. Then He goes on to say, he didn't stop there. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now that addresses something entirely different than the shield. Number 12, as a shield, God was Abraham's defense on the outside, but God was also Abraham's reward. And that had to do, people, with Abraham's inner contentment and fulfillment. That was internal, being his reward. Now, again, we're not going to look back for sake of time, but you got to think back to what happened at the end of chapter 14. Abraham rescues Lot and all the others and all the stuff that Chedor had taken from Sodom. And Abraham is returning with all this spoil and Melchizedek meets him and Abraham gives him tithes of all. A tenth, Hebrews tells us. Then he meets the king of Sodom. He comes to Abraham, and basically, I'm paraphrasing, he says, look, I want you to keep all the spoil. Let me have the people back, and you can keep all the goods that were recovered for yourself. And Abraham said, look, the only thing I've used is the food that the young men needed for strength on their journey. He said, these other fellows, Aner and Eshcol and Mamre, they've joined me with some of their men. Let them have a portion and you can keep it all. What? He said, yes, I made a promise to God not to even take a shoelace from you because I don't want you to tell people in the future, hey, I made Abraham rich. I made Abraham rich. So Abraham turns his back on what might have been, probably would have been, a substantial sum of goods, provisions, money. You get the picture. Number 13, here's the picture. Lot takes the prime real estate. Abraham is alone. He doesn't own one piece of the land. And he just turned down a great store of provisions. He walks away from it. God comes. If anybody needed the word of the Lord, Abraham did. And God brought it to him. And I say again that God will bring the word, His word to you and I through the Holy Spirit when we need it if we get familiar with it. Fear not. I am your shield. And Abraham, I am your compensation. I am your payment. And here is the lesson, number 14. Living in God's will as a pilgrim, in full separation to God, brings a reward and compensation that only God can provide. I am your reward, Abraham. Now, your tendency is to cut me off when you fill in the last blank, just like the college students. You fill in a line, you close your book, you're ready to go, teacher. But I'm not done yet. I only got a couple of things more to say, but listen. You know, people, the will of God, the pilgrim life, full separation to God, not just I don't, but I don't and I do, and I don't and I do, and I'm separating from this so I can separate to God fully. In the pilgrim life, I'm not putting my roots down too deeply here because this world is not my home. I'm building an altar everywhere I go to remind myself to worship God, to remind myself of the sacrifice that's involved in the pilgrim life. I'm waiting on the promises of God. Look, what the results of that may not be great sums of money, but what I will find is fulfillment and contentment and the inner reward of trusting God completely and fully. And I promise you, that's reward. Our reward's not a trophy to sit on a shelf. Our reward is not a plaque to stick up on the wall. Our reward is the inner contentment, satisfaction, fulfillment, peace of knowing I am living in God's perfect will. This pilgrim life, this life of sacrifice, this life of not putting my roots too deeply in this world. His will is sufficient reward for me. You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have something peaceful and content and satisfying in here, you'll be miserable. God's rewards are a lot more valuable than the world's rewards. And I'm not saying that God's, I've said it so many times, I don't have to say it again to you. I'm not against God's people, neither is He. God's people having money. But if you think your satisfaction, fulfillment, and peace is going to come from that paycheck or that bonus, no. He is our reward. Himself. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And that's worth a whole lot more than a bonus. And when I'm in trouble and I need help and His Word comes to me and helps me, that's a whole lot more. That's worth a whole lot more than a trophy on the shelf. Abraham, I'm your shield. I'm going to take care of you on the outside, protect you, watch over you, be your defense. And guess what I'm also going to be? You just turned your back on a whole sum of store of things, money, goods, provisions. You could have loaded down your wagons, gone home and filled all your pantries. You turned your back on that. But I you knowing me, you walking with me, the fulfillment, the peace, the contentment I give you is worth far more than the things of this world that are going to perish. It's His reward. Amen and amen. I'd rather have the peace of God in my heart. I mean that with I'd rather have God's peace in my heart than a shingle on the door. He is our shield. He is our reward. You do the will of God, if you're doing the will of God, you know what I'm talking about. In here, there is a sweet reward.